Good morning, Glasta. Time for Alicia Unleashed. Talking about what's going on in these streets. Alicia, Alicia Unleashed. Bitches.
Good morning, Glasta. This is Alicia Unleashed. And it is episode 129. It's crazy. Nuts. B-side, we got you here.
Good.
I'm having technical difficulties, which is totally throwing me off today, but that's okay. I'll be fine. Everything's going to be fine. And we have back Frankie Francis, the gaming mixologist.
Hello.
Yay! Insert clapping here.
That sounded like something else.
It has been
ass clapping.
It has been too long, my friend, huh?
I mean, this is the third time I've seen you this week, so I don't know about that.
I know, this week alone. Azorian, the lobster, you're back in full force with the lobster.
Hell yeah, we hit the ground running this year, so.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited. Yeah, I've already been there twice.
Last night was the busiest night of the year so far. We had a big fundraiser last night. It was scallop shucking last night. Fundraiser for the Lily Jean and for the family of Jackson Marson. So we had a huge turnout. So it was awesome.
Wow.
I mean, it's one of the things I love about Gloucester is that when you have, you know, fundraisers like this, people just come out to support it. It was awesome. We had a huge, huge crowd last night. Really good time.
Wow. That's awesome. That's really great. Actually, speaking of Cape Ann and speaking of North Shore and the community, have you ever made a Cape Ann inspired drink?
I have. There's not a lot of like, I'm trying to reach out to a lot of like local distilleries. Like I've worked with Privateer Rum in the past many times. I did a video with 1634 Meadery, which is over in Essex as well. And there's a New England Barrel Company based out of Boston that like produces bourbon. And so there's a drink called a Boulevardier, which is basically a Negroni with bourbon. So it's bourbon, sweet vermouth, and Campari. But I called it the Stacy Boulevardier.
I love that.
Yeah. And so when I shot the video, I had a couple like clips of like, you know, of Gloucester Harbor and in it. But I'm like, I kind of want to, like, I feel like I should like toast at the man at the wheel. So I drove down to the boulevard, open container in my car.
Oh, great.
And I stood right in front of I cheers the statue and like just took a shot of myself holding the drink, taking a sip of with the harbor behind me. So
awesome.
I had to keep looking over both shoulders like, no cops, right? Because I mean, it's a bright red drink in a glass. So it's like, it's pretty obvious what I'm doing. So I literally got the shot. I'm like, good enough. Get in the car. Get the hell out. So.
Oh my God. Yeah. That is awesome. Yeah. So the last time you were here was 3 years ago. Like,
was that
crazy
that long? Damn.
May 17th, 2023.
Holy crap.
Yeah. That's like insane. And so the last time you were with us, you had 38,000 followers just on TikTok. So yeah. Talk about where you are now with because Instagram, Facebook, TikTok.
Yeah, I mean, total across all platforms, it's probably like 450,000 almost.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I mean, most of that's on Instagram. TikTok's been okay. It's an odd platform, at least for me on it. But Instagram's where I've had a lot of success. It's been really good and like opportunities are opening up. And I'm still doing my thing, still being the nerd that I am and the nerdy booze bag that I am and just having fun with it. So it's been the last year has been definitely had its challenges, but it's going really well, honestly. And this year is shaping to be the best year yet. So
awesome.
Overall, I'm happy with everything. So it's been good. And I hope everybody's enjoying things that that I put out there.
I love your videos.
Thank you.
I love them. I think they're awesome. So what So Instagram, you're saying is right now is your best platform. Do you, so like, do you post to Instagram and TikTok separately, or is there a platform or that you can do both at the same time? Like, how does that work? Or is TikTok even long enough for your videos?
Absolutely. You can post on Instagram and Facebook at the same time because they're both Meta platforms.
Yep.
But I usually space it out based on previous like video success. Like there's certain times that work better on one platform than the other. TikTok, for whatever reason, if I post something during the day, it doesn't really get much review. So I usually wait until like the night to post something there. So Instagram is my sweet spot. It's usually like around like 12 noon or even at 3 o'clock. I have the best response for times then. Facebook is like either like mid morning or like 4 or 5 o'clock. They'll get the best views there.
Wow. Awesome. What is, what is your highest video since the last time we saw you? So is it like, do you have a video that just is consistent, or do you have a video now that's like, do you have videos that knock each other out for the highest views?
So it's funny. Like I started out wanting to focus on like just like cocktails inspired by video games. And that's still a very, very big part of what I do in the channel. But my most successful video is basically just doing multiple versions of Long Island iced teas. I did that as kind of a, let's see how this works. And I have one where I did four different versions of a Long Island and I posted on TikTok. That got over 8 million views.
What?
8.2, yeah. Actually.
8.2, yeah. And then there's one on Instagram where the same video got, I think, 10 or 12 million. And then I recently reposted one where I had did eight different versions of a Long Island iced tea. So you had your Long Island iced tea, Long Beach iced tea, Irish trash can, all these eight total drinks. And that, as I last saw on Instagram, is over 16 million.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. And so
people like to get drunk, I guess.
So is your monetization, is it increasing?
Not really. I mean, I'm monetized on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm still trying to get YouTube going. I don't know what the holdup is there. But I know people who have been successful on YouTube that it took them just literally like years to get monetized. And they were getting millions of views. But I've had other opportunities open up where I'm doing a lot of like featured cocktail videos with other liquor companies to try and promote their products. That's been going really, really well. So I have one company I work with called Tipsy, T-I-P-X-Y. They basically send me a bunch of products. They'll send me a whole box of booze and just for stuff that I can work with and make drinks with. And I've been working with them for almost a year now. So I've done, I think this coming Tuesday will be my 20th video for them. And I post a video for them every other week.
Wow.
So this will be my 20th video with Tipsy. I just started working with this company called Suburban Life. They do the ready to drink, like, cocktails are pretty popular nowadays, you know, with like, you know, High Noons and like White Claws and stuff like that. But theirs are all non-carbonated and also feature bourbon as the main spirit.
Oh.
So I just did a video recently where I was promoting their bourbon pina colada, which is actually really, really tasty.
Bourbon pina colada.
Yeah, I was honestly surprised how good it actually was. So I did one with their bourbon margarita that was okay. And then I'm working with this company called Barsys. What they do is they do automated like home cocktail, home mixology stuff. They have a coaster the coaster basically syncs to an app on your phone, and you can free pour anything into it, and it'll show you how much you're pouring in. It lights up to say, okay, you poured a 1/2 ounce, you poured a 1 ounce, and the app shows you what to do. And I've worked with them for, I did a few videos for them last year, and this is my second month working with Barsys. So things are good. And I've got something coming up. I have a video coming this week that I don't want to jump the gun on just yet. That's going to be coming up for another promo. So things are looking good. I mean, it's been a passion project and a creative outlet, and it's become a side hustle now. So.
Yeah. How are people, how do they find you? Like, is it just scrolling on Instagram? I mean, obviously you have so many followers. So is it just like, hey, I just saw you, or is it word of mouth from others? Like, how are you because you definitely have increasing, you know, who you're doing promos for.
I mean, the more people that see a video and the more engagement gets from likes, comments, shares, it just gets the video out there more. So, I mean, that video on Instagram that got me 16 million views, I've gotten probably around 50,000 follows just from that video.
What?
Because it reached so many people. Because again, the more people that are engaging with it and the more people who are sharing it, it's just getting out there more and more. So I've gotten a lot from that. Otherwise, word of mouth, not so much. I mean, people, I don't get recognized that often. Like I think I told you last time, like I'm definitely not famous. I'm not even Gloucester famous. So, but every so often I'll have somebody at the bar at the Lobster that will say like, "Oh, I love your video that you posted the other day." I'm like, "Thank you." And someone next will be like, what video? What are you talking about?" And then all of a sudden things start going
right
from there. So.
Right. Like when I wore your sweatshirt into the Lobster, and I forget who it was. Is it Wendy? I think it was Wendy last year, and said, that's Frank's sweatshirt. And I said, yes, it is. So love your merch.
Thank you. I love you so much for doing that. Thank you.
let's talk a little bit about your merch. So I have your sweatshirt. I don't know if it comes in different colors, but I have it in black and it's super comfy and I love it. And it's so cute.
Three colors. Yeah. It comes in, it's a black, gray, and what's the other color? Light blue.
Awesome. And then you have your shot glasses, which I have a set. I love them. Nice. You just did a flash sale the other day. You do a lot of like, sometimes you'll do like a flash sale on your shot glasses.
Yep. Yeah. I did one this week and I do them pretty sporadically, but I always have the flash sale. I took the discount off because it's already a discount, but I do have a discount on the shot glass all the time. If you go to buy them and there's a discount code at the end, if you put in the word HEARD, HEARD, you get 15% off.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And then you have your shirt.
On that side of my Shopify, I have the shot glass are on my Shopify. I also have coasters. I also have like little push pins, keychains, stuff like that. But all the t-shirts and merch, other like, you know, clothing apparel comes from Bar Top Tees. They make all the shirts and my merch for that. So I had this girl named Chelsea who I was talking with at Bar Top Tees, who's amazing. She, I told her a couple of designs that I wanted to have and she created them. One was around Christmas where it was, I wanted to have something where it just said, you know, instead of Bah Humbug, have Bah Tender. And she came with this image of I guess Ebenezer Scrooge, like pouring a drink. And it said, it says like Bah Tender service without a smile. I thought it was so funny.
Oh, that's awesome.
Those are still up there. I believe they're discounted because they're technically a Christmas shirt. And then the one I really wanted to do is I love capybaras. I think capybaras are just so fucking cute, and so I wanted to have a shirt that said that showed a capybara somehow making a drink, and it says "Cappy Bartender." And Chelsea came with this design, sent over to me, and I laughed so hard. I'm like, "That's perfect! I love it." So that was my favorite shirt. Otherwise, they just have my logo on them for like the t-shirts. I have a couple different logos. One's my normal one with the green and the purple. One is like pride colors. But the capybara one is definitely the Cappy Bartender one is my favorite. I just think it's funny.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. Yeah, that's definitely new. That's your merch is definitely new since the last time we spoke, right? Because when did you come out? When did you start doing merch?
I started doing the shot glasses. I want to say I did the shot glasses 2.5 years ago, maybe like I think right after the pod, like we did our first podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working with Bar Top Tees for, I think, a year and a half.
Okay. Gotcha. So speaking of merch and all that kind of stuff, have you thought of, you know, doing a book of your recipes?
That's been a challenge because like I have the idea and I've done little stuff here and there to like put like, you know, pen to paper or finger to keyboard, basically. Giggity. But the only problem with it is I have a legal question that most general people can't answer. And the question is this, is these are cocktails inspired by video games and characters and intellectual properties that I don't own the rights to. So mm-hmm. I need to know if there is some verbiage I can use in the book or in like the preface of the book to say, hey, these are owned by this company, that company, so I don't want to put a book out, you know, charge money for it and then get sued for 10 times more. So So I'm trying to find I'm sure there's a legal way around that.
Oh, I'm
I
sure.
just, I just don't know what that is. So that's what I need to find out. Once I know that that's a possibility, that's definitely a thing, then I'll move forward and get something out there. Cause I've wanted to do it since I started. I mean, it would be like video game cocktail inspired only. Like I wouldn't do like I feature other cocktails other bartenders have created, whether it's bartenders in actual bars and restaurants or just people on social media. I don't want to just, I'll be doing my own stuff for that.
Gotcha. I'm sure there's a way around that. I mean, yeah. I mean, you just have to, you're finding the right, yeah, like the right
lawyer.
Person, lawyer. Yeah. The right,
yeah.
That understands IP for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
And like I said, I know the information's out there to do that. I just need to, as soon as I can find out like what that is and know that, okay, if I do it this way, I'm good, then I can move forward with it.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the most complex cocktail that you've developed based on a game?
Most complex? That's a good question. I'm not sure. I mean, I try to not get too crazy with, you know, a million different ingredients. So most of my drinks have usually no more than, I think the drink that has the most ingredients that I would do that I can't believe has maybe 6 ingredients. And that's a lot because I post the recipes because I want people to make them. Like, here's the recipe.
Yeah.
I want to see people make them. And if they decide to tag me in it saying, hey, this is Frankie France's, you know, Legend of Zelda drink or whatever it is, like, that's awesome. But as long as people are enjoying it, I mean, the recipes are out there for people to make the drinks at home, and you know, they can always tweak them to their own personal preferences. I tweak them to my preferences to see what I like. But like, I posted a video about which was kind of like basically it was like an old-fashioned recipe. Like, it was basically like old-fashioned cocktail 101, just here's the basis. And then I get all these comments saying, oh, you're doing too much of this, not enough of that. And I just kept saying, it's a baseline, like make it your own. Like, your preferences
right.
are different than mine. And that's okay. So play around with it, see what you can do, and just make it your own, have fun with it. At the end of the day, we're just putting booze with other booze and seeing what happens.
So what is your favorite drink that you've made that you've surprised yourself? Like, wow, this is awesome.
Something I made for a video.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a few. So I might do like a top 10 all-time drinks list video very soon. But some of the ones off the top of my head was, I have one that I made a few years ago that I've reposted a couple times. And actually, this drink actually made it on the drink menu at Beauport, not once, but twice.
Really?
Yeah, 2 different seasons. So we usually would not bring back, when I worked at Beauport, we usually would change the cocktail menu from top to bottom every single season.
Right.
Well, three times a year. We do one for spring and summer, one for the fall, and one for the winter. And this one was on the fall menu 2 different times. It was called, the drink, I call it the Sunset Rider. It's based on a video game that was called Sunset Rider. It's basically like a Wild West kind of shoot 'em up game. Basically, you took like Contra on the NES and put it in like, you know, cowboy days. And that had like mezcal, apple cider, ginger, and lemon. Super delicious. That was on the Beauport.
Great.
That was on the Beauport. Yeah, it's if you, because again, the smokiness of the mezcal, and mezcal is kind of a divisive spirit. Not everybody likes it, but
I don't like it.
I get it, and I understand why. But the smokiness of the mezcal goes great with the cinnamon spices of the apple cider, so it works really, really well together.
Hmm.
That was one of my favorites. I did one I did a series of drinks on the video game series Metal Gear Solid. I came up with a drink called The Man Who Sold the World, which is my longest title, but it's a really cool name for a drink. It's named after the David Bowie song, but there's also references to the main character in Metal Gear Solid, the Phantom Pain. His nickname from some people is The Man Who Sold the World. That had like a rye whiskey. It was like a really kind of like a rye whiskey with all these different little flavors to it that came out really good. There was I did an old fashioned for Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask called the Terminal Old Fashioned. It was like a vanilla whiskey with cinnamon, black walnut. That was really, really good.
That sounds good.
And I still love one of the first drinks I ever came up with because like it was what kind of started the whole train moving back in 2021 was the Metroid Martini, because it looks like the Metroid characters in the Metroid video game. So that was like the first drink I came up with for, you know, that was video game inspired, and I still love to go back and see that one.
Oh, so now you're at the Lobster in Gloucester,
yes,
which is, I just love that place. So are, what's your favorite drink to make there? Are you going to be able to like come up with any drink specials like you did, like you said, at the Beauport? Will they give you like any of that creative outlet?
Wendy handles all that. She does. I mean, we've had a lot of the same cocktails since we opened. So we've always had the Moon Dancer Mai Tai. Painkiller is on there. We have a Cosmo. We have other things. So Wendy usually does most of that. I offer suggestions, but it's not my role to do that. I'm a hired hand, which I love being, and I love working there. I always offer things to Wendy, and if she wants to, you know, run with it, then great. But all the cocktails on our menu are either her creations or Tessa contributes some things. I'm sure Dawn has thrown something in there as well. But I always offer some insight if they want it. So Wendy will have me come up with something and say, taste this. What would you add? What would you subtract from this? Like, what would you tweak? And I'll always offer my suggestion when she asks. But I have nothing on the menu at the Lobster yet. Maybe that will change one day. I'm finding a way if it doesn't. People that come in, if they see something on my Instagram, whatnot, say, hey, I really like this drink you made here. Can you make this here? If I have all the ingredients, the answer is always yes. I get some looks every so often from like coworkers, like, what is that you just made? I'm like, well, let me tell you. Cause one of our guy who works Expo right now, last year he loved the Sunset Rider. Like, and so he actually asked me when we opened, like, can you make a Sunset Rider at all now? I'm like, we don't have apple cider, dude. So it's kind of hard.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
In general, just being a bartender and in general, what's your least favorite drink to make? Like when someone asks for it and you're like, ugh.
One of two things. One is, and this is kind of weird, it's a Bloody Mary, but after 4 p.m. it just irritates the fuck out of me. I don't know why. Well, because Bloody Marys are a daytime drink. That it's one of those cocktails that makes day drinking socially acceptable. I don't know why, but so when someone orders one at night, like you've already put all that stuff away, like all because they want all the accoutrements. And our Bloody Mary at the Lobster is pretty damn spectacular. So we make our own mix from scratch. We have a good amount of garnishes to it. But so like, when someone orders one at night, I got to pull all that stuff out, make it, and then put it all away because they're not going to order two because no one's that level of fucking sociopath. so what I always do is when someone orders a Bloody Mary, and again, I'm a sarcastic asshole at the end of the day sometimes. If someone orders one at like, you know, 6 o'clock at night, I take my arm and I look at my invisible watch and I stare at my wrist for a very uncomfortable amount of time to be like, what time is it? Someone's ordering a Bloody Mary, so
I could see that like as a mimosa. Why would you order a mimosa? You know, I would probably feel the same way. Like, say about a mimosa, why are you ordering orange juice and champagne at like, you know, 6 o'clock at night?
Yeah, but also a mimosa is two ingredients. You know, I mean, I have orange juice in my well. I always have orange juice in my well for like any drink would have orange juice, like a screwdriver or sex on the beach. I've got sparkling wine right there, so it's like I have it in front of me. There's not usually you don't need to really go crazy with garnish and stuff like that, so it's quick and easy. But a Bloody Mary, you got all this crap you gotta do. And so also, if anyone orders like a Long Island iced tea, I'm always like, fuck, I'm not getting tipped. All right. Because usually most Long Island drinkers, especially younger Long Island drinkers, they just tip terrible. I mean, they're just trying to get hammered and cause problems. So, well, when they order, it's not all younger drinkers, because like the younger generation, people in their early 20s and whatnot, and you know, mid 20s, they're drinking alcohol a lot less than previous generations.
Are you a boomer?
No, I'm Gen X. Well, I'm
are
a,
you
I'm
Gen X?
19 I, is 19 is 1980 Gen X. That's not millennial, right?
I identify as a Gen X.
Really? I would have said we were elder millennial.
I don't want the word millennial. And you're definitely not going to fucking put elder in front of it. So no,
Not for nothing.
In high school, we were Generation Y. I had T-shirts from the Gloucester Prevention Network that said Generation Y. So I don't know where the hell that went, but it went somewhere and went to fucking millennials. So anyway, I'm Generation Y.
Oh, speaking of Gloucester Prevention Network, I can't remember where the fuck I was. I was with my friend Jeff one time. We were at some bar in New Hampshire, and they had, obviously non-functional, but they had an old cigarette vending machine. I think I texted you the picture. It was like three or four years ago. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah, normally when people see the cigarette vending machine now, they take a picture and always send it to me. But they're definitely few and far between. but yeah, speaking of generational, you were just talking about generational
Gen Z.
Yeah, drinking and like, yeah, not drinking. Like, yeah, like what have you seen in the past, you know, few years?
So the biggest trend right now, and liquor companies are suffering with this and bars are too, is that younger people in their 21 to 26 year age gap, they're drinking. I'm not saying they're not drinking, but they're drinking a lot less than previous generations have. I think there is. Maybe it's because they've grown up and gotten to, you know, adult age where cannabis was legal.
Is it more drugs?
Maybe I have a friend who's kind of younger. He's 27, I think. And when he goes out, he just has these little, like, you know, powdered things he gets from Happy Valley and adds them to his, you know, club soda or his Sprite. He basically looks like he's roofing himself, honestly. You know, on top of those little powder things that Happy Valley has where you just pour into a drink and it's like, you know, cannabis powder or some sort. So
yeah, I have the drops. So yeah. I have THC flavorless drops that I'll add to seltzers. So I don't have to buy the THC seltzers because I'll just get my own seltzer and buy the drops. It's way cheaper.
The last time I got high, my poor boyfriend had to spend 4 hours screaming, "Look at the dot on the ceiling," for me. So we've been limited.
What? I don't recommend
getting your eyes dilated at the eye doctor and then taking an edible.
Oh God.
No.
So I'm such a noob with weed. Like, I don't know if I've ever told you this, Alicia, but like, I smoked weed for the first time at age 39.
Yeah, you told me that. Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, so I'm just now I'm just a total stoner at this point. But like, I enjoy edibles. I don't smoke much because every time I smoke, it looks like it's my first time breathing actual air. Like I can't smoke. I hack on every single hit I take, so I get stupid high. So
yeah, my nodes do not like smoke. So going back to like the Gen Z, I know they're drinking less and all that jazz. Is there any new drinks that have come that all of a sudden this generation loves to drink? Is it the white girl drink, Tito soda, splash crayon?
I mean, those are present there, but the espresso martini is still the undisputed, you know, king or queen of cocktails right now. They still sell like crazy. Aperol Spritz, I've always felt, is a very overrated cocktail. That seems to be dipping in popularity. But a lot of it's those ready-to-drink cocktails, whether it's, you know, High Noons or whatever. People like those. Espresso Martinis is still number one. I mean, at least at the Lobster, it's they'll either get something from our cocktail list or simple vodka soda, or tequila soda is pretty popular too, because people have realized that tequila is actually, you know, one of the better spirits to drink. So if you're drinking good tequila, like I mean back in the day, people would always say like, oh no, tequila, I can't do that. Well, you did 17 shots of Cuervo when you were in high school, Sharon. So yeah, that's why. So but there's so many good tequilas out there now that are additive free, and they're not expensive either. Like sometimes some are like, you know, $40 for a bottle, that's really not bad when you're paying a shitload for terrible Casamigos. So it's,
I was gonna say, how are you feeling about Casamigos?
Garbage.
Oh, you don't like? I don't. So, I'm not a tequila I'm a vodka person. So I don't really dive into the tequilas. But what I would do I like white, like the Blancos. So what's your favorite?
For tequila, I mean, if you're looking for something that's not going to break the bank, I think Espolòn is perfectly fine. And their Reposado is good, and it's not that expensive. So that's good middle of the road. Casamigos and Don Julio are currently getting sued because of all the fake shit they have in their spirits. So
really?
Oh, yeah. So, George Clooney sold Casamigos, made his money, and got the fuck out at the right time. So Don Julio and Casamigos are both owned by a company called Diageo. And they're getting sued for literally, you know, false advertising and fraud because of all the fake shit that's in those tequilas. Casamigos does not surprise me. It's never been a good product, but people like it because it's trendy. It's George Clooney's tequila. Everybody loves George Clooney. But Don Julio is you know, in that same boat now too. So they're literally getting sued. You can Google Diageo lawsuit and you'll get all the details about it. Clase Azul is a very expensive tequila. It's the one you see in those like porcelain bottles. They look really cool. The tequila inside is absolute shit, and it's expensive. It's expensive too, absolutely terrible. So I like Espolòn for a good middle of the road tequila. For the popular brands everybody knows, I'd say the best one of them all is Patron. Patron, I believe, is additive free. Don't quote me on that. But if you're looking for like the very popular brands, my number one probably Patron. Milagro's okay. Lalo is a growing one. Lalo is from the original distiller of Don Julio, and they just recently got bought by Tito's. Because even though Lalo is made like all tequila has to be made in the Jalisco region of Mexico, Lalo is based in Austin, Texas, which is also where Tito's is based. So Tito's is now the majority shareholder in Lalo. So I think they own like 90 something percent of the company now.
Are you going to break my heart and tell me that you don't like Tito's?
Okay. I get this a lot. I give Tito's a lot of shit because I think as a vodka, it's fine. But vodka is, I tried to answer something. I think I answered this in one of this Ask Me Anything things I did recently where Tito's is a fine vodka. It's not bad. I like what they do for rescue dogs. They are very big with like, you know, helping rescue dogs. They donate a lot of their profits to that. I mean, their nickname is Vodka for Dog People. But right. I don't know, like it's the Tito's cult or the Tito's mafia. They're like, they think that Tito's is like literally nectar of the gods. Oh, it's the only gluten-free vodka. And it's like, no, it is not. Absolutely not true.
Isn't it made of potatoes? From potatoes?
Yeah, but
better
even
than
still.
Popov. Like, seriously, Popov is charcoal.
So all vodka, because of the distillation process, is gluten-free. What differs with Tito's is that Tito's was the only one smart enough to, or the first one smart enough to put the words gluten-free on their bottle.
Yeah.
And that made a world difference for people. So,
do you see my face right now?
I see yours.
I can't.
I see your face.
I can't.
So what? So what would you recommend if you were doing a vodka and soda? What would you do?
I mean, Tito's is fine. It's middle of the road. It's not super expensive. We have our house vodka at the Lobster is a product called Granger's, which it's a good tasting vodka. It tastes fine. I mean, it's supposed to have no taste, but it's like, it's fairly smooth. It's not that expensive. I mean, you can get a 750 milliliter bottle at most liquor stores for around $20. And if you're making vodka sodas or mixed drinks with it, it's perfectly fine. It's a perfectly acceptable substitute. Grey Goose is garbage.
Really?
Well, there's been a long-standing rumor with Grey Goose that the vodka that goes into their bottles is the same vodka that goes into the Kirkland bottles you find at Costco. That's been a very, very strong rumor. It's a garbage vodka that marks itself as a premium spirit, and people buy it, so they're doing something right.
Wow.
I'm not a Goose fan, but I mean, vodka is vodka. It's supposed to have no taste, so just don't. You're not impressing anybody by breaking the bank on vodka, so.
Yeah, like absolute tastes like, you know, lighter fluid.
Yeah,
I would
the people.
imagine that's what lighter fluid would taste like.
Yeah, the people that drink Absolut are just the people who have always drank Absolut and they don't want to change.
Yeah, they're from
So,
the 80s.
yeah, it's like they grew, they've always drank Absolut, so they will continue drinking Absolut. Well, do you want to try? Nope.
Nope.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been drinking since 1985.
Yeah, that's fine. So, no judgment.
My mother, one day at Seaport, said to the girl, I'd like a top shelf vodka. Can I have Absolut? I said, Mama, this is not 1985. You are not drinking Absolut. That is not happening. Oh, so how's Zelda?
My dog,
Yeah.
she's good. She's getting old though. She's 12 and a half now, so
Oh.
she's still a cuddle bug, but I mean she's starting to show her age a little bit. So she struggles with stairs now. She had surgery last year. She's doing okay with it. So she has at least one bad back leg, but she still gets around okay. We do our short walks in the boulevard. So
Yeah.
otherwise she's a happy girl. Like she loves my kids. She loves being around people. Still hates squirrels and chipmunks and rabbits. Yeah, she's doing okay, but I mean she's old. She's 12 and a half now.
Are you going to get another dog in the future?
Probably not anytime
No.
soon. I mean,
Yeah.
I'm enjoying the last few years she has left. I mean, like I said, Launch is nothing significantly wrong with her. You know, that's all that matters, and she can still get around okay. So, she's still a sweet dog. She walks a little bit of a limp, but she can still walk okay. So, but
Yeah.
I mean, 12 and a half and 7 years to 1 year to us is 7 years to a dog. So, 12 and a half, what's that?
Old.
Almost 90 years old equivalent. So,
Hulk is
given
going to
that,
be 15, so.
damn. And 12 and a half is old for a pit bull. I mean,
Oh.
yeah, she was, I mean, most of her life, she was around 110, 115 pounds. She's down to about 96. So she's a big girl. And like I said, she's doing okay. Thank you for
Oh,
asking. I
good.
appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Love Zelda. So yeah, so I think is there anything else that I've missed since last time? Anything the biggest thing that's happened since, we spoke 3 years ago?
No, like I said, I mean the brand deals I've been doing has been the new thing. Just trying to, turn, a creative, outlet to a side hustle, and that's been going well. I mean, there's struggles with starting any business. There's ups and downs all the time, but I mean, there's always just something really cool when you can create something out of nothing. You know,
Right.
and I feel like I've done that, and that's awesome, and I'm still just looking to see what comes next. I mean, the last like few months, some opportunities have opened up with work with different companies, and I recently did a bunch of collaborations with this guy Gary, who's down in Rhode Island. We had just so much fun making videos and stuff, so that was really cool. Some of those videos, he's the guy with the beard who's yells a lot, and we had so much fun that day. We shot about, I think he's posted, I think, four of the videos we shot, and I think we made five or six, but we had so much fun. We made drinks, we laughed, we went out, we took meat and smoked it, we took weed and smoked a lot of it, and just like it was such a fun day I had with Gary. So
That's awesome. That's awesome. So we'll definitely have to have you on again because you collab with is it Juicy Tits?
oh yeah, Juicy Tits Vodka. Yeah, that's Lauren. So they're based out of New Jersey. And if people don't know what Juicy Tits Vodka is, that's actually the name. And the reason why they're called that is they actually donate a portion of their profits to breast cancer charities. So I mean, my mother's had cancer for a long time. So to work with them, which is an awesome thing that popped up. And yeah, so like Lauren knows my mom's whole story. And she's awesome. So I keep telling her, like, you got to get into Massachusetts. Like, when we ship there, we just don't have any in stores yet. So, but
Oh, okay.
she's working on it. So,
All right, so definitely we'll have to bring you back for October, obviously.
know what you
And
should probably, if you want, I can reach out to her and see if she'd want to do the podcast with you. I mean, I don't, I think
sure.
she'd probably have a lot of fun
That'd
with
be great. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
it. I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, perfect. Oh. Awesome. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. So we Bridget will have all your links up and link to your merch and Instagram and TikTok and whatever wherever else you want people to find you. We'll
You
make
know how
sure
I
that
do.
that's we'll make sure that's all in the notes. Thank you so much for coming on with us again, and hopefully it won't be 3 years and until we do this again. Because
You know how to find me, Alicia. So
that's right.
I'm always down for it. So I love talking and hanging with you. So
Yep,
always. And you too, Bridget.
absolutely. Awesome. Well, this concludes episode 129, which is crazy. This has been going on for 11 years that, but this is awesome. So thank you, B-Side, for everything as always. Thank you, Frank, for coming on, and peace out.
Peace.
Peace out.